In this world, there are basically two different kinds of people. Those who know God and those who do not know Him. And both types are probably in every church. Sutherland is no exception. And as we draw near to the end of time, it will be divided still into those two groups of people. Those who know God and those who don't. However, there is a significant scripture that I want to invite you to turn with me now to Revelation chapter 3. And in this passage, it's noted that there are three groups of people up until Jesus' second coming. Just a little before Jesus comes, there will be three groups of people. Not two, but three groups of people. And it's important that we understand the basis of this particular scripture in order to understand the message that I want to share with you today. Revelation, the third chapter. And you'll notice in this passage, we're going to look at, that there are two parts to this passage. And its understanding will be the key to understanding this message today, which we've entitled, The Shaking. The Shaking. So with your Bibles open to Revelation, the third chapter, I want to start the first part of this message is verses 14 through 16. Listen to this as you follow. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of the world, the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Now, how many groups of people? How many groups? Three groups. The hot, the cold, and the lukewarm. There are many major issues that occur within the Christian church today. And perhaps this is one of the most interesting ones. The fading away of this large middle group called the lukewarm group into one or the other. It's a very fascinating work. It's a strange work, and yet it's very real. It's very real, and it is actually happening in our very midst. Notice now, verse 17. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and did not know that you are wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. Now this scripture here completes what we call the rebuke to the Laodiceans. That was a rebuke, wasn't it? Now, I want you to notice the counsel that God gives. That's the next part of this passage, starting with verse 18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment or white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with the eye salve, that you may see. Gold tried in fire. What is that? That's the gold of faith and love. And then white raiment, the robe of whose righteousness? The robe of Christ's righteousness. And eye salve. Eye salve is the work of the Spirit of God in our lives, the wisdom to be able to know right and wrong, what God's will is for our lives. Now, notice what it says in verse 19. As many as I love, he loves you, friends, he loves me. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. And then he gives this invitation. We know it by heart. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man or anyone hear. Now the question before us here is, what happens to these three groups of people that causes them to evolve into the two groups of people? Everybody with us? As far as our question today, let me try to illustrate. A pastor friend of mine shared with me a story that took place with him and his brother. They were visiting their grandma's house at the farm, and the bumblebees, the bees, did not exactly like having all the attention that the boys were giving it. And this pastor friend of mine said, my brother, he got stung, and he began to yell from the top of his lungs. And he says, I thought my brother was just carrying on far more than he needed to. And just at that moment, he got stung. And he and his brother started their first duet they had ever done before. And he sang the highest part. Well, the pressure revealed what he really was. And there are times when the pressure is on, friends, that will reveal what you and I are. A crisis, you see, changes us, never changes us, but a crisis really shows us what we are. And if there's going to be any changes, it's not going to take place during the time of the crisis. It'll take place after the crisis. Every one of us knows this from experience. A man in the Korean War, the first day going ashore, the stretcher mate, his friend, he was shot down. And that was it. That was over for him. And this man who was alive was a 1AO, Seventh-day Adventist. He was a medic. He saw red, and he asked for the nearest rifle, and he shot to kill the rest of the war. And he came back from that war. He came back with lots of guilt. He needed help, many problems. Why did I do what I did? And I know that some of us are saying, my, I would have never done that. Never would have done that. Friends, we never know. We do not know until the pressure is on, and then we will find out what we are like. Not too many years ago, I like to think of myself young, even though I'm 58 years old, or was it 59? I was the age of a lot of these young people here today. And how many times I would tell Mom and Dad, you know, Mom and Dad, if you're gone and I'm by myself, I can take care of myself. I can handle myself. And if somebody comes to the door, I know what I will do. I will stand behind that door, and I'll have this instrument of warfare. I will be ready, come what may. And I would describe it to my mom and dad. And, well, moment of confession before all of my church family here today. There were times when Mom and Dad would come, and they would find me underneath the bed. There are times in our lives that we really discover what we're made of. And we may not know now at all. And what I'm trying to say is this. There is a great crisis coming. If you've read the Word of God, if you believe the Word of God, there is a crisis that is coming. And it's just around the corner. And the question before us is this. Are you listening carefully? The question before us is, according to the Word of God, what causes the three groups of people, hot, cold, lukewarm, to go into the two groups of people? And the answer to that question, I would like to suggest, reminds me of a statement that Ellen White wrote in a book that I love. I found it just as inspiring and encouraging as the book Desire of Ages. This one is Christ Object Lesson on page 412. And if you have a bulletin, you have that statement under the outline, the sermon outline. Christ Object Lessons, page 412. It's the large statement there, right there in your notes. And I want you to follow as I read it. Powerful statement. Quotes, it is in a crisis that what is revealed? Character is revealed. Do you agree with that? Boy, have I seen that in my life. When the earnest voice proclaimed at midnight, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And the sleeping virgins were aroused from their slumbers. It was seen who had made preparation for the event. Both parties were taken unawares, but one was prepared for the emergency and the other was found without preparation. So now that's a key statement, a sudden and unlooked for calamity, something that brings a soul face to face with death, will show whether there is any real faith in the promises of God. It will show whether the soul is sustained by grace, unquote. As you're turning with me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 13, Revelation chapter 13, what I have just read is a description, what Ellen White calls the shaking. It is a time when the events of the future, that are yet future here, will create a terrible crisis for God's people. And that third group, that lukewarm group, will disappear when this crisis appears. When this crisis happens, that third lukewarm group will disappear. And some of God's people will abandon their faith. They will join the ranks of the enemy. Hard to believe. But that's what the Word of God says. We even see evidence of it early, even to this day. While others will grow, they'll grow more and more in love with Jesus Christ, more and more like Jesus in character. You see, the shaking is a time when this trial, will separate true Christians from those who only just profess. They're just kind of going along for the ride. And so our loyalty to God and His truth, our commitment to remain faithful to Jesus Christ, it's going to be severely tested, friends, as we face the traumatic events that are yet future. And we read about them in Revelation chapter 13. And so I want you to do this. Will you do this for me? Try to see yourself in the events of Revelation chapter 13 and ask this question: what will happen to the lukewarm Christian at the time of Revelation chapter 13? Are you with me? With that question in mind, go with me now. Revelation chapter 13, we're reviewing, but let's look at it again. Verse 7. And it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe and tongue and nation. Then go down to verse 15. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And then verse 17. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now you can imagine that this will cause many people to leave us. And this is the shaking, friends. This is the shaking. Now I want us to go back with your bulletins open to the sermon outline. You'll notice again, Christ Object Lessons, page 412, about the 10 virgins. That is a powerful, powerful parable. And Ellen White here is talking about the shaking, even though she doesn't use the word, it's talking about the shaking. And you'll notice again the division of the Christians ultimately into two groups, two classes. In Revelation chapter 3, and verse 15 calls these three lukewarm, hot, and cold. But notice what causes the lukewarm group to disappear into either the hot or the cold. Here it is. It says this: when the earnest voice proclaimed at midnight, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him," and the sleeping virgins were roused from their slumbers, it was seen who had made preparation for the event. Both parties were taken unawares, but one was prepared for the emergency, and the other was found without preparation. Unquotes. Something will happen to cause these two classes of Christians to be revealed. And so I ask the question, will the real Christian please wake up? But when, you see, we're still sleeping, friends. We're still sleeping. But when we are awakened, when we are awakened, from our sleep, we're going to discover who is spiritually prepared to meet the final crisis, and we will be able to remain loyal to the Lord. But then there will be those of us who are professed Christians who, when the crisis comes, we will not be prepared, and the outcome is we will join the ranks of the apostasy, and ultimately we will accept the mark of the beast. That's the message. Now, this parable that Jesus gave here about the 10 virgins, it is at midnight that they were awakened. The sleeping virgins, every one of them, all 10 of them were awakened. 5 were foolish, 5 were wise. But they all slept. And the midnight cry shows who was prepared and who isn't. And I find it very interesting here that the writer of Christ Object Lesson applies this midnight cry in our day to the final crisis. And this is when God is going to allow natural disasters that I've been sharing with you in the last several weeks as we've been together that will come upon this world. Let's read about it. You have your notes open, sermon notes, Christ Object Lessons, page 412. Look at it again. Notice that little phrase. So now a sudden and unlooked for calamity. What will happen? It will show whether there is any real faith in the promises of God. Listen carefully. I want you to catch the picture. Right now, there are three groups of people. The hot and the cold and the lukewarm. It's happening. It's right here in Christian church. It's right here in the Sutherland Seventh-day Adventist church. But just before Jesus comes, something will happen to bring about these two groups. And the middle group, the lukewarm group, disappear, will be gone. What is it that will cause this separation of Christians from those who are merely just going for the ride, profess Christians, and those who are in for real? It's called the shaking. And the shaking is a trial. It's a crisis. And I would like to suggest that the shaking is occurring even now. The early stages of the shaking even now. But when the final crisis comes, when a sudden and unlooked for calamity comes, then will be revealed those who really are having their faith in the promises of God and those who don't. Now, let's go back in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. I'm so glad you brought your Bibles with you. And if you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible right in front of you in the church pew. Revelation chapter 3. Before the smoke begins to rise, as it were, before the final crisis of natural disasters in the events that are described in Revelation chapter 13, something uncanny is going to happen among the professed people of God. It's happening even now. Can you relate to this? In a little book that Ellen White wrote, it's called Early Writings. Maybe you have that book in your library. We highly recommend you to read it. There's a title of a chapter, and it's entitled The Shaking. It's right there. And it describes the shaking in this way. Can you relate to this? One group of people are seen on their knees, desperately earnest about something. Their relationship with Christ, their desire to be filled with the Spirit more and more, the desire to share their faith and to win souls for Jesus Christ. In this vision that she had, she sees these groups of people, and then she sees another group of people. On the other side, this group of people are rather unconcerned. They appear to be professing Christians, but they're going through the forms of being a Christian. But it was more outward show. Lots of leaves, but no fruit. In other words, they are so busy in the affairs of everyday life, either they know only religion, or they just don't have the time to form a relationship with Jesus. And as these two groups are watched, finally, those who are on their knees seeking God, a company of angels surround them. They're doubled. And the angels who had been around those trying to help those people that were rather somewhat unconcerned, they leave them. They leave them. And they go to those who are seeking God. And the picture is somewhat like the Holy Spirit leaving one group and doubling around another. We call it the latter rain. And these two groups, they grow farther and farther and farther apart. It's a gradual process. And then suddenly. And the one who saw this whole thing, she said, well, what caused this? I would have asked the same thing. Well, what made it happen? What caused the shaking? Early Writings, page 270. This is what she says. I asked the meaning of the shaking. I had seen and was shown, this is very interesting, I was shown that it would be caused by the straight testimony called forth by the council of the true witness to the Laodiceans. So the council to the Laodiceans. This will have an effect upon the heart of the receiver. And then she says this, some will not bear the testimony. In other words, they just can't take it. They won't accept it. They won't receive it. They will rise up against it, and this is what will cause a shaking among God's people. Unquote. Wow. Now, I've asked you to turn with me back in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. And you remember that the Laodicean message is broken up into two groups, two parts, I should say. There's the part that has to do with the rebuke to the Laodicean church. And then there's the counsel. The counsel, that's the second part. And she says it is the counsel to the Laodiceans that is going to cause resistance. What is the counsel? Look at verse 18. Verse 18, Revelation chapter 3. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. What is the counsel given to the Laodiceans? By the way, we are the Laodicean church. I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire. That's faith and love. I counsel you to allow me to place on you this garment, the white raiment. That's the righteousness of Christ. And the eye salve, the Holy Spirit. Friends, what's the counsel of the true witness to the Laodiceans? It is the message that I have been seeking to give you and share with you as I've pastored you here in this church. It is emphasizing the need to know this Christ, Jesus Christ, and to form a relationship with Him, and allow the Holy Spirit who dwells there to take more control there. Do you remember the message? The message of Christ, our righteousness by faith. Salvation by faith in Jesus alone. This church, Sutherland, we've been through a shaking, haven't we? Some of us are accepting the message of the righteousness of Christ. Some of us are resisting it. Some of us are seeking to enrich our relationship with Jesus and thus be filled with the Spirit again and again, more and more. Others are resisting it and choosing religion instead of Christianity, or we're just too busy to take the time to spend time with Him, knowing Him. Friends, you and I know what the tendency of our lives are. We know where we are. Now listen carefully. We are, as it were, in the early stages of the shaking, and we have even experienced in our very midst a shaking. Because but listen to this, friends. According to this parable of the 10 virgins, when the midnight cry occurs, when it happens, when, notice the statement again, when sudden and unlooked calamity takes place, what will happen to those who still resist? What's going to happen? Christ's topic lesson says, and so now a sudden and unlooked calamity will show whether there is any real faith in the promises of God. In the end, what will separate the real from the unreal? What will separate those who are loyal to our God from those who are not? As we go back to the parable of the 10 virgins, friend, when the midnight cry woke up, everybody was sleeping. Half of them were prepared, half of them were unprepared. Friends, you and I, including us here in the Sutherland Seventh-day Adventist Church, we represent those 10 girls. We're in there. We're in this story. And Christ Object Lessons, page 412, says, it is a crisis that character is revealed. Will the real Christian please wake up? In the final crisis, the stars will fall again. And the events that are revealed to us in Scripture, Revelation chapter 13, will take place. That is the world of the future, before Jesus comes. And this calamity will reveal your character and my character. Are you with me? Do you see what we're trying to say? And what aspect of character will the coming calamity reveal? Will it be the strength of will to endure hardship, come what may? Maybe. Will it be the determination to press on without, no matter what the odds are? Not necessarily, but that will be in part of it, yes. But Ellen White, I think she's hit it. I think she's absolutely right. It will show, it will reveal those who have real faith in the promises of God. It will show that. And we're told that the stars will fall more than once. Again, disasters will multiply around this earth, and because of it, then the world will experience a sudden and a profound paradigm shift. Remember we talked about that? A paradigm shift. A change. And we see that change revealed right there in Revelation chapter 13. A paradigm shift, sure different from the world that we live in today. And the outcome of it, the outcome of this paradigm shift will be, there will be two end time movements. And one of those movements will persecute God's people. As you're turning with me to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. You see, it is these natural calamities from the heavens and the persecution that will reveal those who are strong in character and those who are not. And this final crisis will test character, everyone's character. And the issue will be faith in the promises of God. Faith in the promise. I'm reminded. I couldn't find it right away. I called up Bonetta. She helped me out. And we found it. Luke chapter 18 verse 8, where it says that when Jesus comes, he asks the question, will he find faith on the earth? Faith in the promises of God. Faith in the righteousness of Christ. Not your righteousness. Not my righteousness. But his righteousness. And I thank God. In the setting, in the context of the great calamity, there will be a people who will have the faith in the promises of God. I say amen to that. Let us read it from the Word of God. Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 28. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and in the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, and the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth, coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. Now, notice the description of God's people that have been holding on to the promises of God. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws nigh. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Do you see the picture of hope in the midst of the coming calamity? Do you see it? In spite of the pressures, in spite of the calamities all around this earth, and unfortunately it's true, things will get worse before they get better. God's people will not be overcome by these things. Their faith will continue to look to Jesus Christ, their Savior and their coming King. They will keep on holding on. They will cling hold to his promises. And in fact, his promises will be the only thing they will be able to hold on to in the end. But maybe someone is saying here today, wait a minute, Pastor Kit, wait a minute. I know the New Testament Greek. And someone else says, well, wait a minute. I'm a third generation Seventh-day Adventist. Someone else says, well, I have, if you remember Harvest Ingathering, I have Ingathering ribbons ever since 1953. Someone else says, well, I study my lesson seven times every day of the week. And yet God says to you and me, I don't know you. I do not have the words as a human to say. I wish I had the words of the angels to say them. But friends, what I am talking about determines our eternal destiny. It is vitally important that we seek to know God, that we allow his Spirit who dwells there to take more and more control there. This has been the message that I've been sharing with you in my 5 years of ministry with you here so far. Friend, Pastor Kent's not here to scare you into action and changing your ways because of the coming calamity. No. That is not what I'm here for and not why I've shared these messages. Friends, it's the response of love that God calls for. It is not the response of pressure, but God's love.
reminds me in closing of a pastor who used to pastor in Portland, Oregon. And he told me that he became aware of Sunday blue laws that became constitutional. And that very day when he learned that, he got two phone calls. And one phone call went like this: "Pastor, have you heard the Supreme Court says that Sunday blue laws are constitutional? Isn't it terrible?" And then the other call went like this: "Pastor, have you heard the wonderful news? The Supreme Court says that Sunday blue laws are constitutional." What made the difference? One of them knew that soon they would see Jesus. Amen? And the other one knew that, well, the pressure is going to come on soon. One of them was preparing their lives to receive the seal of the living God. And the other, without realizing it, was preparing their lives to receive the mark of the beast. God's word makes the appeal to us today. In the Romans, the 13th chapter, verses 11 and 12. "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of our sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. The coming of the Lord is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness." Friends, I don't know what darkness you're involved. Cast them off with God's help. And let us put on the armor of light. God's word today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for seeing me through as I've delivered this message again today. As you have helped me to serve this spiritual food to your people. Sometimes it's been difficult to take, Lord. But we thank you for the truthfulness of your word. We thank you for the awesome hope that we have in Jesus Christ, in spite of the fact that there is a crisis that is yet ahead, and it doesn't always look very good. But thank you that it does look good if we're holding on to Jesus. And Father, as our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, I would ask our people that are present, including myself, if we would like to rededicate our lives to stay on the ship, to continue to allow Jesus to man the ship, and to trust him as the captain of our salvation. And maybe there may be others here today who just got on the ship, and you're afraid, and you're not too sure, and you want to reaffirm, help me to trust Jesus. Help me to not jump overboard. And maybe there may be some here today who have found themselves on the ship and the storm is brewing, and they realize the reality of this, and they see now that they have been holding on to religion, but not Jesus Christ. Whoever you are, as our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, do you want to say, "Jesus, I want you to be the captain of my salvation. I want to weather the storm through your help"? If that is your decision, raise your hand with me right now. Praise God. Father in heaven, we give you glory and praise that it's still true. The best is yet to come.